Okay, good morning, everyone. This week is, we're going to take a look at something related to the Haggadah, since Pesach is coming up. And, and I want to thank Jake and Karen Abelevitz for sponsoring our lunch and learning today. It should all be Eloi Nishmas, Leah Bas Avraham, and Eliyahu ben Abba. Jake's parents, and in the tzchus, the neshama should have an aliyah. So I would like to begin, I gave you a sheet, but before you take a look at the booklet, I want to begin with something that I might have said in different contexts in the past, but if you have heard me say it, it's worthwhile repeating. If you've heard me say it and you don't remember it, it's certainly worthwhile repeating. And if you haven't heard me say it, it's worth saying the first time. So let's start with the Dalad Kosos, the four cups of the Seder. We're all familiar with the Dalad Kosos, the four cups. And the question is, everything in the Seder has some symbolism behind it. What is the symbolism of the four cups that we have? What is it meant to correspond to? So not a trick question. I mean, it's partially a trick question. So the four cups of Geula, just to remind ourselves, the four cups of the Seder correspond. Excuse me. correspond kineged Dalad Lashonos Geula, the four promises of redemption, the four synonyms of. Words that are the biblical words that are used in order to present God's promise of redemption, and they are at the beginning of Parshas Va'era. So you take a look on page 318. Vayedaber Elohim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. God speaks to Moshe, and he says, and he identifies himself, introduces himself, I am Hashem. And I appeared to the forefathers, and I never revealed my name, my face, my personality, my mida of Hashem. And I never fulfilled my promise to them. In other words, they I made promises to, and I didn't fulfill. They I engaged with. But only in a particular way. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, by contrast, I am going to fulfill all those promises with you and through you. Pasuk Hey, V'gam ani shamati es nakaz b'nei Yisrael, and I have heard, the cries, the painful screams of the Jewish people, Asher Mitzrayim avidim osam. Said that Mitzrayim is enslaving them and causing them to work hard. And I remembered my covenant that I made all those years earlier. And here we get to the central psukim that correspond to our four cups at the Seder. Lachain, therefore. Emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem votzesi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Say to Bnei Yisrael, I promise, I Hashem promise, I will extricate you, I'm going to remove you to take you out of what? What am I going to take you out of?
Bondage.
So what's the word in the Pasuk, in the Hebrew for a moment? I will take you out of Sivlos Mitzrayim. Okay? Sivlos Mitzrayim. How is that translated in the English? Pasuk 5. 6. I am Hashem, I shall take you out from under the... How does... what do you have? You have a hurts? You have a... The burdens of Egypt. What's that? The hurts or the art scroll?
Art scroll.
Chaim, you have a hurts. How does he translate Sivlos Mitzrayim?
This
is the very beginning of Parshas Va'era, opening psukim. Right, so sivlos can be suffering, right? Suffering. Sivlos maybe means the burdens.
These
quote, that the verb is to suffer.
Mizbol is to suffer. Okay. Go back there in a second.
Burdens.
Burdens, that's what the Hertz says? Okay. So Hertz and Art Scroll are on the same page. The burdens of Egypt and suffering. What's the difference? Well, and we're gonna. I want to know what the difference is between burdens and suffering. What's the difference between burdens and suffering?
You suffer with a burden, you don't burden with a suffering.
Okay. All right. So let's just keep that in the back of our minds for a second. And let's go on. So the first thing is God is going to extricate us from the burdens of Egypt, from the suffering, the pain of Egypt. Okay. Number two. What's the... And this is cup number one, right? So this is the first cup to correspond to removing us from the burdens of Egypt. Number two, the end of that very same pasuk, v'hitzalti eschem me'avodasam, or the continuation, I should say, of that very same pasuk, v'hitzalti eschem. Hitzalti means what?
To save.
Okay, mahatzil means to save. Right, Hatzalah, to rescue, to save. And Hotzeiti means to take out. What?
Take out.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we have, and what is God going to save us from? As the Pasuk records it.
From their service.
Okay. In Hebrew, right, from their service, in Hebrew it's Me'avodasam. Okay. So the first thing is God is going to take us out from the burdens of Egypt. He's going to remove us from those burdens. The second one is God is going to take us from out from the...
Abba God is not the servants. Abba God is...
Okay, how did it translate in English? You said from service, right?
Service.
Okay. So from the service of... from the service of Mitzrayim. But... And just, I apologize again. I apologize for not remembering your first name,
Stephen.
All right. So Steve says avoda doesn't mean service per se. It means work. Right. But we refer to avoda as avodas Hashem. Right. That is, it's not the work of Hashem. It's in service of Hashem. So I think that avoda can have the implication of work. And it can have the implication of service. In this case, maybe it has both implications, that they were in service of the Mitzrim, namely they were slaves, and they were working for the Mitzrim, like they were working hard. Right? So if the first one is about burdens, right, that's the hard work, then the second one is maybe not just reinforcing that, but adding another dimension. You could be a slave, but maybe you're a house slave, right? To use some more modern terminology. The house slaves are still slaves, but you know they had it relatively good in the sense that they were working in a non-harsh labor toil environment, but they were still slaves. So avoda sam here in the idea of service is independent of how hard the work was. But maybe it means that that also it just seems that that's already covered under Sivlos. Right, so God's going to take us out from the burdens. He's going to save us from the service. Which is interesting that God's not taking us from the service and saving us from the burdens. Another question you have to ask or keep in the back of our heads right now is, are these just synonyms? This is just, God being a literary flourish to make the psukim more... beautiful for to the ear and aesthetically pleasing, so you don't fall asleep as quickly as you might otherwise. Or is there significance behind these? And those two, I'm going to choose the latter. But let's see. Let's work it through. Okay. So then three. What's the third cup of the Seder, right? Corresponding to a third promise of redemption and saving. And what is the third one here? V'ga'alti. What does the pasuk say? V'ga'alti eschem. What does the pasuk say? V'ga'alti eschem bizroa netuya uvishvatim gedolim. So God is going to redeem us. Doesn't say what He's redeeming us from. Just says God's going to redeem us, and God is going to redeem us with the use of grand, great miracles and actions, right? Bizroa netuya, with an outstretched arm, uvishvatim gidolim, and with great judgments. In other words, it's going to be big. It's going to be huge, right? Yeah.
Question: is that in the singular, you, to be individual?
It's in the you plural. The you plural. Hotzeti eschem, hitzalti eschem, v'ga'alti eschem is you plural, right? Right. The that would be the vous in French, I believe, right? As opposed to maybe not. As opposed to two. Okay. All right. So it's the you plural. Okay. So God's going to redeem you from Egypt, you, the Jewish people, and it doesn't say from what. Okay. But it does use this language over here of redemption. What's the idea of redemption? What does that mean to? I mean, we use the term to mean, you know, God took us out of Egypt. But you know, if you take a coupon to a store or whatever, what is it? What is a redemption? Or you're going to redeem a bond when you redeem something? What is that? What does that mean to redeem?
It's real value. It's original value.
All right. So there's some type of exchange going on here, and you get some, and you're getting its real value. You're taking something back. So, so there's redemption going on over here.
Well, the first two are actions. It's salty.
Okay, Galt is not an action.
It's in the future. It's something in the future.
These are all
current.
These are all written in the same construct, in the same grammatical construct. Hotzeti, hitzalti, ga'alti. So I think they're all action verbs, and they're all, whatever tense one is, they're all in the same tense. So I don't, I'm not sure that that would be an accurate distinction to make here between ga'alti and the others. All right, so that's our third cup over here, corresponding to the third Lashon of Geula, the third language of redemption. And then the fourth one is Vilakachti. Right? So Lakachti is to take. Right? What's God taking us from, or taking us to, or taking us about? Vilakachti. No, that's a little further. It says, Vilakachti eschem li la'am, and I will take you for me to be a nation. So this is not what I'm taking you out of. This is what I'm taking you towards. Okay, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, and I'm taking you, means to take, right? And I'm taking you to be, you know, Hashem's nation. Now I ran out of space here on the board, but the pasuk then concludes with a little summary here. V'idatem, that you should know, and you should know, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God, hamotziaschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, who is taking you, or who will take you, from the burdens of Egypt. So when we get to our conclusion, our siyum, our summary line over here, we're once again taken back to where we started. And I ran out of room here, but I'm just going to, you won't see it. But we come back to where we started about God taking us out of the sivlos, the burdens or the suffering. The burdens / suffering. So this is a nice little unit here, a nice little unit in the Chumash. And what?
Summary.
A what?
It's an education term. What's, you know, at the end of a few things that you teach a class, then you give a quick summary of what you just taught.
So what's it called?
A medial summary.
A medial summary. So we have a medial summary here. And this medial summary actually provides a nice bookend for this unit. Right? Yeah, the story is going to continue, but what's going on here, we get a little summary. And the summary is God's going to take us out of Egypt, out of Sivlos Mitzrayim at the beginning. And then the summary at the end is God is going to take us again out of those same burdens of Egypt. So What's the educational term for this? When you have something beginning at the end, it creates some type of theme of the of the data in the middle. So if one had to summarize or one had to describe, what is it that God is promising ultimately to do for us? He's promising to take us from Sivlos Mitzrayim. That's where we start, that's where we end, and a few details in the middle. So question number one is, what are the Sivlos Mitzrayim? What does that mean, Sivlos Mitzrayim? The burdens or the suffering of Egypt. And how are they in any way different than Avodah Sam, than the hard work and service that is mentioned in the middle? And clearly, the Avodah in the middle, which is the service, the hard work, is not the main point. That's a point. It's not no point, but it's not the main point. The main point, said at the beginning, reinforced at the end, is God is going to take us from Sivlos Mitzrayim, from the burdens and suffering of Egypt. So,
when it doesn't mention Ya'altirchem and then Taltirchem.
Right. So that's where, and that is correct, right? So it does, in the summary, what does it say in the summary? V'yidatem ki ani Hashem Elokecha mamotzi eschem mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, and you shall know that I am Hashem who is going to take you out of the land of Egypt. And then we have the last pasuk. Right, 1 second. So then you have. That's why it's a medial summary and not a final summary, right? So the Pasuk 8 is, and then I will take, then you have Pasuk 8, which is, and I'm going to take you into the land that I promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that will be your inheritance, and that's really sort of the conclusion. So the question that I want to focus on first is, what are these Sivlos Mitzrayim? In order to understand this, I want to take you back, flip the Chumash back one page, to the end of Parsha Shmos, and bottom of page 312, chapter 5. Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they are going to ask Paro, or demand from Paro, or request from Paro, to let the Jewish people go. And Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they say, Shalach es ami v'achogula b'libamidbar, let my people go, God said, so they can celebrate with me in the desert. And Paro says, Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo l'shalach es Yisrael, pasuk 2. Who is this God that I should heed his request? Lo yadati et Hashem, I don't know him. V'gam lo Yisrael lo ashalach, and I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. Forget that. Pasuk 3. Bottom of 312. So Moshe says, so said God, so they said, the God of the Hebrews happened upon us. Let us now for a 3-day journey in the wilderness. Let us, and we must do this lest he strike us dead. In other words, he's coming back at Paro for a second stab at the apple and saying, listen, we really got to go. This is really important. This is not just, not just a request. So Paro responds, Pasuk 4. Vayomer lehem melech Mitzrayim. King of Egypt responds, Lama Moshe v'Aaron tefri yosam en ma'asav. What are you bothering the people? They got stuff to do. Lechu, read the next word for me. Lechu l'sivlo techem. Go deal with your own problems, with your own burdens. Lechu l'sivlo techem. So here we have Hashem, Paro, telling Moshe and Aaron, get lost, beat it. Lechu l'sivlo techem. Lechu l'sivlo techem. Go to your own burdens. Go to your sivlos, which I think means, everybody's got stuff to do. Go do your stuff. All right, let's go a little further. Pasuk 5. Vayomer Paro hein rabim ata am haaretz. Paro says, The people of the land are now numerous, and you would have them cease from their burdens. V'hishbatem osam misiv losam. In other words, the people have stuff to do, and they're numerous, and I got a lot of work for them. And you want them just to take off from their siblos. So here we have it again. Paro tells Moshe, go to your siblos, go take care of your own burdens. The people have their burdens, their siblos. Leitzav Paro bayomahu, and Paro on that day commands his own people to make life even worse for the Jews. So the word siblos is a rather unique word. It doesn't happen a lot in the Chumash. Only a few, and I'm not sure how many more times than this, but not many more times than this. So when that happens and you have a somewhat unique or rare word coming up only in a few cases, and in this case, you know, pretty much all related to the Jews and leaving Mitzrayim, you have to ask yourself, what does this word really mean, and how is it telling us anything? How is it informing us, enlightening us about the story of the Jews leaving Egypt in this case? So let's go back here and understand the word siblos. So we said it means burdens. Steve, you said it means suffer. So what's the difference between, in English, suffer and burden, between the suffering and and having a burden?
Suffering is your reaction, and the burden is what you're reacting to.
Okay. So the burden is what is giving you the tzaris, and the suffering is the experience.
Result.
What?
Result.
Right. Is your experience of handling that. All right. Good. Can we go for a working definition? Right. That is a description of the difference. What is the definition of the word to suffer? What does it mean to suffer? In English.
To experience hardship.
Okay.
Pain.
To experience pain, hardship. Okay.
Discomfort.
All right. So I'm going to open up a dictionary here and put in the word suffer. S-U-F-F-E-R. Okay. Wait, you want to say something?
No. I think of pain when I think of suffering.
Okay. So the primary definition is to experience or be subjugated to something bad or unpleasant. He suffered intense pain. But there is a secondary definition. And in this dictionary, my online dictionary, it introduces the secondary definition with the note, archaic. In other words, how the word suffer used to be used. So it means, for example, here's a sentence, France will no longer suffer the existing government. So what does the word suffer mean? To tolerate. Now, is that true in Hebrew also? Just because that's the definition of English, is that true in Hebrew? Could be. So can we find an instance in Hebrew where in biblical Hebrew where the word saval means to tolerate or to suffer in that sense? Let's see here. I'm going to get the pasuk so I don't have to look it up too quickly. Anybody remember? Okay. Take a look at... Okay. No, that's in Tehillim, which is also good. Here we go. Chapter 39, pasuk 6 in Bereishis. Okay, so we're in Shmos. Now we're going to go back just a little bit further, flip a few pages more. One second. Let's see if I... Hold on, let me get it here. Here. chapter 39, unless this is wrong here. It is about Yosef. That is correct. No. All right, that's too far back. Hold on, let me see if I can find it quickly. I think it's in Birchas Yaakov. It's in Vayechi. Hold on. We're looking for Sevo. Hold on. Here we go. 49, not chapter 39, chapter 49, Pasuk 14. Here are the Birchos Yaakov. Yaakov is giving the brachas, chapter 49, Pasuk 14. And he's giving the brachas to his son. Yaakov is giving the brachas to the Shvatim. Says the Pasuk, Yisachar chamor garem, Yisachar is a strong boned donkey, Roveitz bein ha-mishpatayim, which means that he does something between the boundaries. Maybe he rests between the boundaries or he jumps between the boundaries. Opposite meanings. Pasuk 15. Vayar menucha. He saw tranquility, kitov, that it was good. The es haaretz, and the land, kina ema, that it was pleasant. Vayet shichmo lisbol. And he bent his shoulder over to bear. And he became an indentured laborer by Hilamas Oved. Okay, so forgetting what the meaning of this bracha is and what it's talking about, but we see here the term saval means vayet shichmo, he bends his shoulder over in order to be able, lisbol, to bear a burden, to suffer. Not suffer in the experiencing pain sense of the word, but to bear a burden. Right, the suffering servant, if you will, the havdil. Right, so to bear the burden. So now let's go back to our psukim in Shmos. Moshe comes to Aaron, come to Paro, and they say to him, "Let my people go." And they say to Moshe and Paro says to Moshe and Aaron, "Lechu l'sivlotechem, don't stir the pot here. Lama tafriu." What are you bothering the people? They have sivlot. They are bearing this burden just fine. Don't stir the pot. They are used to it. They are okay with it, if not happy about it. This is what they know. This is what they will accept. And don't shake the apple cart here. And you yourselves, l'chul sivlotechem, you also learn to tolerate it. Just bear it. Grin and bear it. Hashem comes to the Jewish people and he says to them, Ani Hashem, sheyotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. I am going to take you out from the sivlos Mitzrayim. Not simply from the avoda, from the servitude, from the hard work. That's important. But if I remove the handcuffs and you are still in jail, here, right, in the head, in the brain, in the psychology, then nothing's changed, really. Let's give this an example from fiction, okay? Everybody here saw The Shawshank Redemption? Okay. So remember that there's a character in The Shawshank Redemption who, after an eternity in prison, gets let out, and he hangs himself a few days later, because he has no way of managing himself in the free world. So he was let out of prison, but it didn't help him. He was actually much better in his circumstance actually being in prison, because he needed somebody to tell him when to get up, and somebody to tell him when to go to sleep, and somebody to tell him when to go to the bathroom, and somebody to tell him when to do this and when to do that. So it's not sufficient to remove the chains of Egypt. It's not sufficient to take people out of the physical enslavement, but Hashem says, I'm going to do one better. V'hotzeiti mitachat sivlos Mitzrayim. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. That's the goal, is to undo the slave mentality.
It's a more mental element.
It is a more psychological mental element to it. And I'll take your question in a second. But why is this really so important? I mean, it's important because, you know, for somebody to be free, it's not just about, you know, you can unlock the door, but if the guy doesn't walk out, then they're not really free.
Well, let's put it this way. When they came out of Egypt and when the Yam Suf, they complained to Moses, why took us out of the shrine.
Right.
Let's go back.
Right. Right. So that's exactly the point, that they come out of Egypt and they are still having a slave mentality. They are still bound, not by chains on their wrists, but chains on their head. And 7 weeks later, Hashem offers them to accept the Torah, and the people are given a choice, Na'aseh v'nishma. The underlying foundation of Judaism in its genesis is the Bechira, is the Jewish people choosing. So Hashem takes them out of Mitzrayim, and maybe it's an amazing thing that they can go that distance in 7 weeks. But the point of the matter is that even just for the reader, for us, the point is to say that that God taking us out of Egypt, and what we have to remember, the four cups at the Seder that are corresponding to this, and the main point of this is that not simply that we are living in a free society and we are free from bondage, but that we are free people to exercise choice, because that's ultimately the underlying quality of what it means to be really a Jew. To be able to exercise the choice, the Bechira Chafshis. And that's what the Jewish people do, Na'aseh v'nishma. And that sets the stage for Jewish history. So I think that is what is going on here, about Tzeitzi v'Yitzalti. And in the middle we have important things as well. V'Yitzalti, I'm going to take you out of bondage, that's important, all right? Even if you're free. Natan Sharansky was free in prison, right? He was the freest prisoner maybe ever recorded in the history of prison memoirs. He was a free man in jail, but he was in jail. So it's not good enough to be free in your head. You also have to be physically free. But it's also not sufficient, and it's even worse if you're just physically free but you're not mentally free. And this is what the reader is getting from it, but what we are commemorating and celebrating at the Seder with the Dalet Kosos, where we start and we end with this notion of commemorating and recommitting to this notion of exercising our freedom. Not being free, but exercising our freedom. Because the Seder is about challenging the individual to choose, to make the choices of, you know, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to make the choice of commitment to God, a commitment to Torah, a commitment to Mitzvos, a commitment to all, you know, to the Jewish tradition. Norm, you had a comment.
Yeah, it's going to take a whole new generation to really appreciate that, right? Because the old generation is wiped out, most of it, in the journey before reaching their own territory.
Right. And indeed, there is like a second Matan Torah, if you will. Not exactly a revelation, but when the Jewish people cross over with Yehoshua, there is a, once again, you know, Moshe at the end of his life and Yehoshua at the beginning of his sort of makes this, at the beginning of his reign, they sort of make this pitch to the Jewish people. Listen, you know, you're in or you're out. I mean, it's not entirely a choice because the covenant was already made. But we see, you know, again, an inflection point where the Jewish people are made to, you know, are made to choose and are given the point to choose. So how do we get, so that's sort of the superstructure here. But we said that each one of these are a little different. So v'hotzeiti, God takes you out of the sivlos Mitzrayim. God will take the Jewish people out from this mentality. It's not, he's not entirely successful, if you will, because they do, there is some recidivism on their part. But this is like an emotional freedom, right? Sivlos is like an emotional freedom. Hitzalti, God will save you from avoda. That's a physical freedom. Ga'alti, that's a redemption, right? And redemption, we said, is, you know, you have some type of exchange. You give something and you get something back to restore to its original value. So God gives the shvatim gedolim, zroa netuya. He takes some type of measure of vengeance against. Against Egypt, and in return we are redeemed and we get our freedom. So that's the ga'alti, and then lakachti is not about where we are coming from, but where we're going to, and that is a spiritual redemption, a spiritual freedom in which God is making us into Am Hashem. Lakachti eschem li la'am, I will make you into my nation. So we go from an emotional freedom, a physical one, the redemption, ultimately to a spiritual flowering. When I talk about this, I often like to remind of a story that I once read years ago of a woman, Holocaust survivor, and she mentions that when she was before the war, as the war was looming, she was 10 years old at the time, and she said that her teacher in class, she went to public school, and her teacher called her up in front of the class and put her in front of the class, and she came up and she looked out to the students, the teacher, and said, "Look at this dirty Jew," and everybody ridiculed her and laughed at her. And the writer, the author writes, I saw this years ago, she says, I don't really remember the beating so well. I can't remember the pain. I mean, I know that I experienced it. It was terrible. But I can't feel the pain when I think about it. But even till this very day, the author writes, I still feel the shame and humiliation of that moment. So to be physically free, at some point, the wounds of bondage heal. But Sivlos Mitzrayim, the emotional rescue, is the one that is most significant, to make the change in the brain, to making the change in the way we think about things. Yeah?
We see that with the spies, right? They can't envision beating these people, even though they get assurances that, you could do it.
Right.
They can't.
That's where we see the recidivism. That's where you see the recidivism, precisely. Okay, so this all gets us to the four cups, and why the four cups? Now, there is a second, which we'll do much more quickly. Yeah.
Just a quick question. Wouldn't it be a better choice of word instead of lakachti, the hevesi? Lakachti, you said, was bringing to Hashem. But isn't that more like take from hevesi is bring to? Wouldn't that be a better term to use?
Well, the next pasuk is vehevesi eschem al aretz, I'm going to bring you to the land.
To bring to, right?
Right.
So I'm going to bring you to me.
Right, so maybe in this case, lakachti means to take. Hashem is taking, right? Taking the Jewish people, taking them, right? To bring, you can bring anywhere. I can bring you to a third destination, which is what the fifth cup is, right? The plus one, the fifth cup is vehevesi eschem. All right, I'm going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a third destination here. So lakachti, to take, really on its own just means to take for yourself. I'm taking something, unless it's otherwise. I'm taking for somebody else. Okay, so there is a second position. Both of these are cited in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and there is a second view here, a less prominent, well-known view. Why do we have the four cups? These four cups correspond to what?
Four sons?
Nope. Another set of cups. Actual four cups. This corresponds to four languages, four synonyms, four promises of redemption, as we just spoke about, and the overall goal of that redemption, and the challenge for us to in that redemption. But there are another set of four cups. So go back to the story of Yosef. to Vayeshev, page 218.
Chapter
40, verse 8.
Bracious.
Yeah, in Bracious. Right? What could we possibly be looking at in Bracious when thinking about Egypt? So take a look at chapter 40, verse 8. Yosef is in the pit. Yosef has been taken out of prison, and he's in prison, and page 218, and he meets the Saramashkim and the Saraofim in prison. Vayomere love, and they say to him, "We have dreamt a dream, ufoter enoto, and we have no one to interpret it for us." Vayomer alehem Yosef, and Yosef says, "This is your lucky day. I'm a dream interpreter. Saprunali, tell me all about it. I have time." By Saper Saramashkim is Chalom Eli Yosef, and the cupbearer, right? The bartender, the butler, says to Yosef, "In my dream, I see a vine, a grapevine. Uvagefen shlosha sarigim, their branches, etc." Pasuk 11. Bechos paro biadi, and the cup of paro is in my hand. Vakachas anavim maschato samel kos paro, and I took the grapes in my dream and I squashed them, I crushed them into the cup of paro. That's cup number 2. Vatenes hakos al kaf paro, and I put the cup into the hand of paro. That's cup number 3. Vayomer lo Yosef ze pitrono, shloshes yamim heim, yisa paro es roshcha, in 3 days, veishivcha al kanecha, you'll be returned to your position, v'nasata kos paro biado, and you will take paro's cup, and you will place it in his hand. All will be good. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Talmud Yerushalmi says that the 4 cups of the Seder correspond to the 4 cups of Paro. What does that mean? We just threw a dart at the Chumash and found 4 cups? Here's 4 cups, 4 cups, 4 cups. Okay, but there are four cups mentioned, and they correspond, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, to the 4 cups of the Seder.
How do you get what, 4 mentions?
Is it one mention 4 times?
It's right. There's 4 mentions of Kos Paro. The 4 times that Kos Paro is mentioned, this corresponds to those 4. The 4 times that Kos Paro is mentioned here in the story. So what is what's the meaning behind that?
Has something to do with him getting Yosef getting out of jail?
I don't really know what the meaning is.
No, I'm reaching too far.
Well,
while you were speaking before, I was thinking, we were free people. We were. We were prosperous,
right.
And somehow we get down to Egypt and we wind up as slaves, and we're now we need to be
restored,
rescued.
So, not just rescued, but restored.
And restored,
right.
And I don't know, why did we ever go down there? We should have stayed out. But the point is, we're back again. You've taken us now out of Egypt. And we're back to who we were. We were very proud, and we were our own masters. So,
right. So there's a striking contrast here.
Restoration.
Right. It makes this even more striking.
Right.
We're experiencing the freedom of Egypt, And the rabbis are telling us that each one of these cups reminds us of Yosef in prison interpreting the dreams of Paro. That's at his lowest point. So it's a striking contrast. What do you want to say, Norm, and then Judy?
No, no.
Judy?
The interpretation of the dreams is the beginning of how Yosef got out of prison.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's the beginning of the end, too.
It's the beginning of the redemption.
Yeah, but the first interpretation of the four cups is what Hashem is going to do. Yosef did it himself. It's his interpretation that was the beginning of his getting out. That's all I have to say.
Okay. All right.
But
so
it's the beginning of slavery too.
Well, no, the beginning of slavery. The beginning of
he's going to bring his family down to Egypt. They're going to all come because he's a big. He becomes a bigwig in Egypt.
Right.
And they're eventually made slaves in Egypt.
Right. Well, I would argue that if you're going to take that story to its genesis, this would be a medial summary point, okay? All right? The beginning would really be when the brothers send him down to Egypt. That's the beginning of the story of the Jews in Egypt, right? That's like really what sends them down there.
Right.
So just to I'll take your comment just one second just to make your point. So one possibility is that on one level that it's it's the beginning of the salvation, because even as you know, a lot of bad stuff is going to happen, but the bottom line is that in Yosef's story, it's the beginning of his salvation, right? His personal salvation. So take that and writ large, it's the story of the Jewish people. The Jewish people, you know, go down to Mitzrayim, as you know, go down to whatever oppression, and they ultimately have a geula. Just as Yosef, in that moment when he is sitting there in the prison in Egypt, the likelihood that he was thinking that in short order I will be second in command, I would suggest was slim. That he probably wasn't thinking I will be the number two in all of Egypt within a couple of days, weeks, whatever it is. So, in a certain sense, at Seder night, and you have to remember, the Seder in many ways is a product of the destruction of the Second Temple. The Seder as we have it, I mean, parts of it are in the Talmud, but what we have is the Haggadah. I shouldn't say Seder. What we have is the Haggadah, right? That body of work, the Haggadah, right, is really, in many ways, a response, or written in the, put together in the wake of, you know, the destruction of the Second Temple. So to say that the four cups, you know, remind us of Yosef in Egypt, of Yosef in the prison, is really like exactly what Judy is saying, is that even in the depths of what feels like an impossible tragedy, that there is hope for the future, just as Yosef looked around and probably couldn't see much, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, but the light was coming whether he knew it or not. We too, experiencing the Seder, in some points in Jewish history, much more painfully so, and needing much more the reminder of hope. And sometimes, like in our own day, maybe a little less so, maybe a lot less so. But Beikach uBeikach, the idea of sitting in the Seder while we are still in a galus, in an exile situation, to feel that whatever challenges that we may have nationally and even on a personal level, that should be a sense of hope and trust in God for the future. So that's all along the lines of what Judy was saying. Yeah, what do you want to say?
So basically, actually it's an actual preliminary redemption, because Yaakov and his family were about to end up being in a famine, and they needed to be saved. And that beginning of that redemption was when Yosef was moved to a higher level.
Right.
And so that he could act as a savior, if you will.
Right, for the brothers and the family in Canaan.
Absolutely. Otherwise, right. Basically, they never would have been able to have that second opportunity to be redeemed later on, 210 years later.
Right.
So, you know, right. This is what it was. And remember, 210 years and is one thing, but we went down to Egypt and all these slaves are 80 years.
Right. So to Brian's point, that Yosef, that this is the beginning of the salvation of the nuclear family of Yosef, the brothers and his father and, you know, the whole clan, because without Yosef being in Mitzrayim, being appointed to the second in command in Egypt, then his brothers would have likely not have not have been saved the way they were. So this is also an idea of salvation, even just to the story of the brothers. So it's an idea of salvation for Yosef himself, for the brothers, and that ultimately is writ large for the Jewish people as a whole. I think that there's one other idea. With this, I'll wrap it up, and maybe we'll do this other piece that I gave you maybe next time, which we didn't get to, that the whole story of Yosef is the story of Hashem's hand being very prominently displayed. If you read through the story, we're not doing it right now, but just read through the psukim. Yosef is constantly mentioning that it's, you know, God's hand, God's will, God's work. I'm only an agent. I'm only a vessel. I'm only as good as God makes it. And Hashem's hand in the story of the salvation of the brothers and the family, and in Yosef's going down to Mitzrayim at the very end, what are Yosef's final words, or what are Yosef's important words when he and the brothers are discussing, you know, good old times. And they're concerned that he's going to take revenge on them. And he says, listen, you might have thought what you were doing was for my ill, but in fact, this was all part of God's plan. It was all part of God's plan. That's take a look at the very end of Vayechi, after Yaakov dies, all the way at the end of the parsha, just before Shmos begins. Pasuk 19 and 20, page 288. Vayomer aleihem Yosef al tiro, and Yosef says to his brothers, don't fear, ki atachas elokim ani, am I in place of God? Pasuk 20, page 288. V'atem, the last five psukim of the whole Chumash. Atem chashavtem alai lara, you intended ill for me. Elohim chashava latova, but God's plan was for the good. So that way I could be here to sustain you and to sustain all of your families. So when we are at the Seder, and really the Seder is a time of having this God consciousness, right? I often say that Orthodox Jews don't like to talk about God a lot. Talk about mitzvahs, talk about Torah, you know, but people don't talk about God a lot. They get nervous when you start talking about God. Right, but the point of the Seder, at least one time a year, is really to focus on Hashem, right? To focus on Hashem's role of the Jewish people, Hashem's role in our life. And really the story of Yosef is the prominence and the glaring prominence, undeniable presence of Hashem in the movement of that story from beginning to end. So we sit at the Seder with these four cups corresponding to the four cups of Paro. It's not about Paro. It's about the story of Yosef, really, as he is interpreting it and everything that means, and what it means for Hashem's role in the revelation of the divine plan of history. And in that light, we sit at the Seder with one, two, three, four cups, and those cups correspond not only to the promise of redemption, but also corresponds to the experience of exile, and the hope and the trust that we should have in Hashem in guiding our lives and in living our lives, so that way we get to the ultimate redemption. And that's the four cups at the Seder.
Are we having another shiur next week?
We are, unless otherwise noted. But as of now, we're having a shiur. And if this
would be.
You can leave it. If you want to take it, you can take it. Otherwise, I'll take it and redistribute it.